Welcome back. This is an advanced Ableton LaveFX lesson for drum and bass, and we're going to build one of the cleanest kinds of momentum you can add to a roller, reverse textures made from your own pad tails. The big idea is simple. Instead of grabbing a generic riser or white noise sweep, we're going to steal the reverb tail from a pad, print it to audio, reverse it, and then shape it into that inhale, suction, forward pull energy that leads into snares, fills, and drops. It feels musical because it literally comes from your harmony. And it feels pro because it's controlled, tight timing, disciplined frequency range, and it breathes around the drums. Let's set the context first. Put your project around 172 to 176 BPM. I'll think in 174. And mentally commit to D10B grid lengths. Most of these reverses will be an eighth note, a quarter note, a half bar, one bar, maybe two bars for bigger lifts. If you start making random 5-beat reverses, they won't lock to the pocket. Now step 1. Design a tail worth stealing. Choose a pad that has some movement. Wave-eatable, something chorus Y, granular-ish, anything that isn't a dead static sine pad. Even a simple saw pad can work if the tail is interesting. On the pad track, build a device chain that makes a beautiful, long decay. A super workable stock chain is your synth, then chorus ensemble, then hybrid reverb. In chorus ensemble, set it to ensemble mode, keep the amount around 20-40%, and a slow rate like 0.15 to 0.35 Hz. The point is not obvious chorus wobble. The point is subtle width and motion that will become extra detail once we reverse it. Then hybrid reverb is the core. Pick a hall or an algorithmic hall, even shimmer if you want it more magical, but be careful because shimmer can get bright fast. Set the decay long, like 4 to 10 seconds, longer than you think. We're printing this, so we can afford to go dramatic and then edit it down later. Predelay around 15 to 35 milliseconds helps the tail bloom without smearing the original hit too much. Size around 80 to 120%. Now do the frequency discipline right here. In the reverb, high cut somewhere around 6 to 10 kHz so you don't get fizzy hash, and low cut around 150 to 350 Hz so you're not printing sub buildup into your reverse. That low cut is a big deal in drum and bass. If you let low reverb into your FX layer, it's going to fight the kick and the sub immediately. And here's a coach note. Treat tail stealing like cane staging, not a vibe guess. Before you record anything, get the return level or the pad output so the tail peaks around minus 12 to minus 6 dBFS. If you print it too hot, you'll end up compressing and saturating just to control it, and it starts sounding smeared and cheap. Also, if your pad is part of your actual musical progression, consider doing the tail reverb on a separate return track. That way your main pad can have a sensible musical reverb, but your Steal Me reverb can be long and exaggerated purely for printing. Step 2. Print only the tail. Make a new audio track and name it something like PAD Tail Print. Set audio from to the pad track, or to the return track if you're printing from a send. Arm it. Now, when you perform this, don't play a big sustained chord. You want a short stab, like an eighth note or quarter note, and then silence. Let the reverb ring for 2 to 8 seconds. One more pro move, print multiple tails in one pass. While recording, trigger 3 to 5 different chord stabs or voicings in the same key, spaced a bar apart. Later you can slice out different tails, and you instantly have variation without touching the device chain again. That's how you build a palette fast. Once you've recorded, edit the audio. Find the transient of the original pad hit and slice it off. Your audio file should start right as the tail blooms, not on the dry attack. Add tiny fades, like 2 to 10 milliseconds, so you don't get clicks. Step 3. Reverse it, and keep it in time. Select the tail clip and hit reverse in clip view. Now decide your warp mode based on what you want this to be. This is an aesthetic decision and it's worth committing early. If you want the reverse to feel pad derived, like you can still hear the harmony and tone, go gentle, complex or complex pro, or sometimes even minimal warping if you don't need time stretching. If you want it more like abstract air FX, texture mode can be amazing. Set grain size around 80 to 200 milliseconds and flux around 10 to 30%. Longer grains can turn a literal reversed reverb into a more modern, gritty whoosh. Now the timing trick that makes or breaks this whole technique. Reverse FX should end exactly on the target hit, not start on the target hit, end on it. So if you want a reverse pulling into the snare, drag the clip so the end of the reversed audio lands right on the snare transient. The swell naturally ramps up into that moment, and your brain interprets it as forward motion. If it ends late, it sounds sloppy. If it ends early, it doesn't pull. Pick a musically useful length. Half a bar into a snare is classic roller glue. One bar into a drop hit is clean tension. 2 to 4 bars is your big atmospheric jungle lift. Step 4. Shape it like an FX layer, not a pad. We're going to process this reverse tail as its own element. Start with EQ8. Discipline first. High pass it. In drum and bass, I'm often starting around 200 to 500 HC. If your bass is heavy and moving, don't be scared to go higher, even 400 to 700. Your reverse texture doesn't need to have body. It needs to have motion. You can also dip around 180 to 250 if it's clouding the snare area. And if it's too crispy, gently shelf down above 10 to 12 kHz. Then add auto filter for movement. Choose a low pass 24 or a band pass 12 depending on the vibe. Automate the cutoff so it opens into the hit. For example, start the cutoff dark, like 300 to 800 HC, and ramp it to 3 to 8 kHz by the time it hits the snare or drop. Add just a little resonance, like 5 to 15%, for character. Then saturate it so it reads in the mix without just turning it up. Ableton Saturator on soft sine or analog clip works great. Drive around 2 to 6 dB, then trim the output. Soft clip can help keep peaks contained. Optional but useful. Blue compressor for density. Gentle settings. Maybe 2:1 ratio, attack 3 to 10 milliseconds. Release auto or around 0.1 to 0.3 seconds, and you're only aiming for 1 to 3 dB of gain reduction on peaks. This is not about smashing it, it's about making it feel like one coherent texture. Step 5. Make it breathe with sidechain. If you skip this, your reverse will sit on top of the snare and cymbals and it'll feel amateur in DNB. We want the reverse to tuck out of the way on hits, then rush back in between them. Put a compressor on the reverse track. Turn on sidechain. Feed it from your drum bus or a kick and snare group. Start with ratio around 4:1. Super fast attack like 0.3 to 2 milliseconds. And then focus on the release. Because sidechain feel is mostly release, not threshold. At 174 BPM, a good starting point is this. For short snare pull reverses, release around 70 to 110 milliseconds. For longer lift reverses, release around 120 to 220 milliseconds. Then set threshold so you're getting maybe 3 to 7 dB of ducking on hits. The goal is, the reverse returns between kick and snare spaces so it rolls with the groove instead of flattening it. And one more advanced check, phase and mono. Even though this is background, wide reverses can fold down weirdly. Put a utility at the end, and test width from 0 to 140% while listening in mono. If the reverse disappears in mono, narrow it or reduce chorus and modulation on the printed tail source. Step 6. Turn one reverse into a whole texture system. This is where it gets really producer-y. You're not making one FX, you're making a set of parts you can arrange quickly. First, make a micro layer for snare pulls. Duplicate your reverse clip. Shorten it to an eighth note or a quarter note right before the snare. High pass it higher, like 500 HC up to even 1.2 kHz, so it becomes a crisp zip instead of a cloudy swell. Pan it slightly, maybe 10 to 25 left or right, just to get it out of the snare's way. Second, make a body layer for a drop lift. Keep a 1 to 2 bar version. Band limit it. High pass around 200 to 300, low pass around 4 to 7 kHz. And yes, you can add a tiny bit of reverb after reversing, just to glue it into the space. Keep it subtle, like 1.2 to 2.5 seconds decay, 10 to 25% wet. If you overdo reverb twice, you'll get fog and you'll kill punch, so think touch, not wash. Third, resample the processed reverse. This is a workflow cheat code. Record the reverse track output to a new audio track, like Rev Print Final. Now you can chop it like a drum sample. Flakes, stutters, fills. You're no longer babysitting a long effect chain every time you want a variation. Step 7. Placements that sound genre authentic. First placement. The pre-snare pull on 2 and 4. Put a 1/8 to 1/4 reverse right before each snare. Keep it high-passed and side-chained. That's instant roller glue. Second. Between phrase breathing. Every 8 bars, drop in a half bar or 1 bar reverse swell into a crash, a vocal stab, or even into nothing. In minimal rollers, this can replace loud crashes and still mark the phrase. Third, pre-drop suction. 2 to 4 bars of reverse rising into the first hit of the drop. Automate the filter opening, maybe a slight increase in saturation drive, maybe a little width automation. This is tension without clutter. Fourth, jungle-style ghost energy. Scatter tiny reversed grains, like 16th to 8th note bits, before break edits. If you want it extra alive, Use beat repeat very subtly on the reverse layer. Interval 1 bar, grid 1/16th, chance 5 to 15%. Filter on, keep it dark. It should feel like little ghosts in the gaps, not like an obvious glitch effect. Now, some advanced variations you can try once the basic method works. 1. The vacuum cut. Add a gate after your reverse chain, and key it from the snare using sidechain. Set it so the reverse is audible only before the snare, and it clamps down right at the hit. That creates a very produced inhale that stops dead, leaving the snare crack totally clean. 2. Negative space reverse with increasing duck near the hit. Instead of relying only on compressor sidechain, use auto pan as a volume shaper. Set phase to 0 degrees so it becomes tremolo, sync the rate to a quarter or half note, and automate the amount upward toward the target hit. It's like rhythmic ducking that intensifies, and it can feel more musical than a compressor pumping. 3. Reverses that follow chord changes. If your progression changes, print tails for each chord using the same chain. Reverse each tail and place it before its corresponding chord hit. That preserves harmonic logic and avoids pitch stretch artifacts. 4. Transient snap layer. Take a tiny copy of the reverse, make it very short, and do a hard fade out right at the hit. High pass aggressively. It becomes a little suction tick that can complement ghost notes and edits. 5. Mid and side split processing. Keep the center clean, animate the sides. You can do this with an audio effect rack. One chain forced mono with utility at 0% width and restrained processing, another chain pushed wider with more movement, then blend. The reverse stays exciting, but it won't clog the middle of your mix where your kick, snare, and bass live, and a few sound design extras, because this is where you can make your reverses truly yours. Try printing tails through a convolution impulse response in hybrid reverb plates, metallic rooms, spring-like IRs. When reversed, those resonances turn into sucked harmonics that feel custom, not generic hall. Try resonators after reversing, tuned subtly to the root and fifth of your key, mixed very low. Suddenly the reverse reinforces the hook without adding a new synth. This audio version is shortened for playback.